as a designer, those are the sort of responsibilities that you need to take on board, because we've got a world where we've only got finite resources. We can't just keep on making more and more and more. It's just costing the planet far too much.
Welcome to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast by Coralis, a global community of women and non-binary people making real progress on the world's to-do list. Together, we're transforming the world to become more equitable and sustainable.
Hello, everyone. Lauren Walsh here, development guide for Coralis. And I'm really excited to be speaking with Liz Mitchell today, founder of The Wool Revolution. Liz, could you give us a bit more introduction to you?
Hello to the Coralis community and to Lauren and Steph. Liz Mitchell, I've been a fashion designer in New Zealand for over 25, nearly 30 years, in fact. And that's really what people would know, I think, about my business. I love tailoring and the craft of bespoke fashions, but really working quite individually with clients.
So Liz, can you tell us more about how you work with wool? And specifically, what is the wool revolution and why is it so important?
I think one of the important parts of my craft has been working with beautiful fabrics, natural materials, and wool has always been my go-to in terms of something that is I really love. And but in fact, even though New Zealand is known as a big wool producer, we don't really create very much textiles these days within our own country. And generally, our wool is being exported and then comes back in woven materials that I would be using that come from mills from out of England and out of Europe. But I think what has happened for me is that I had when I've been thinking about wool and why, and really with the growth of the fast fashion industry, which is we initially all kind of embraced and thought how amazing that we could get clothes and all these different things so inexpensively, and that, you know, this sort of like changed our world. But we didn't really think about the significance of actually what these materials, that what these garments and products and things we're using, what were they made of, and what would be the ultimate cost to our planet in terms of how what became of them, really understanding that none of these things actually they don't disintegrate. They are actually with us for a long, long time.
Liz, you mentioned a bit about supply chains for wool and how much of the wool used in New Zealand is brought in from overseas. Can you tell us more about that?
In New Zealand, 85% of our wool clip goes overseas, but it's also a strong crossbred wool, Romneys, and that's really suitable for carpet and for blankets and kind of upholstery. But we've got only, would you believe, in New Zealand now, only one mill, weaving mill left in New Zealand to actually do that production of fabric of the stronger wool, and really only one scourer, one big industrial scourer left, and they've got Napier, and then they've also got down in the South Island. So we've really the opportunity to add value to something that is a miracle fibre. We've basically let it go overseas, and then we buy back the product. And, you know, and I think with COVID, the breakdown of supply chains, it all became a lot more difficult. And people, you know, just for me, it seemed, you know, obviously that people want to support local production. And I sort of began finding small scale women farmers who did scouring and washing, who did carding, turned this fleece into a roving, which then becomes, you spin the roving and that becomes your yarn. And I did initially just hand spun yarn and worked with a weaver to create some beautiful textiles, woven textiles.
So you've been a fashion designer for many years with an amazing reputation. How did you get started in the wool revolution?
With COVID, with the lockdowns, I just had this time to sort of think and reflect and think why, particularly young people, didn't have any connection with wool and they didn't really see its value. And I have had this long connection with wool and just know its amazing properties. And I think had time really to reflect and do more research into thinking about things. And I really did think initially just more, why couldn't I make a beautiful woven coat with New Zealand wool produced in New Zealand, just something quite simple, because I would normally be getting it from Harris Tweed or from Huddersfield Cloth. So it was really just thinking, why couldn't it be a local, you know, would this be possible? And then meeting with wonderful sheep station that had a small flock of coloured Romney wool sheep in black and browns and dirty creams, and actually connecting with that farmer and being able to go to the shearing shed, see the animals, the sheep being shorn, just putting my hands in this amazing fleece, and then taking away four sacks of fleeces in different colours, and then thinking, well, this is the very beginning of the farm, the animal, this is the fleece. How do I turn this fleece into a fabric? And really that opportunity kind of has just been an amazing, yeah, the wool revolution has sort of has grown as I've discovered all these amazing things about how wool is actually produced.
Well, we're very curious about additional projects and designs you're working on. Can you tell us more about that as well?
Each step of how you take that yarn and then you might dye it and then you know, spinning it into for fabric, all add to the cost of what you're ultimately going to be producing, because the setup costs are so high. But I think because I had these raw materials, and it just the opportunity also to, someone had suggested needle felting, and the university in Auckland had a textile hub with a needle felting machine and other weaving kind of things there. And I took my raw materials along and discovered that needle felting was an amazing process where you transformed this fibre into a non-woven material, and that you could do decorative kind of patterning and design on it. And it's relatively quick to achieve quite amazing results. And that really kind of gave me an inkling that there was other ways of creating fabric that I hadn't ever really even had any knowledge about. So this opportunity to work at AUT was fantastic to kind of, you know, develop products and see the potential ideas. It just seemed like there were all these different things that I was doing with wool that really I didn't see out in the marketplace.
It's really fascinating how you've explored these different uses of wool that were really innovative for you, as well as for the rest of us who are interacting with wool in different ways. Can you tell us a bit more about the way in which what you're making is also addressing sustainability?
Well, I think one of the amazing things about sheep and, you know, just the wool, the animal is, it grazes on the grass, growing its fleece. And then we're shearing the fleece, so the animal's still alive. And one of the amazing things I've done is we've done these living fleeces. So that from that fleece, we've felted it with just soap and water, created this beautiful rug that could be on a chair, could be on the floor. And it's just, it looks like a sheepskin. But the amazing thing is at the end of its life, you could put it back in the earth and it would feed the grass, it would feed the earth, it would just break down. But the animal, the sheep, is growing its next fleece. And this amazing circle of life. I mean, I've been, you know, follow Ellen, Dame Ellen MacArthur, the circular, you know, economics system, which is about replace, repair, reuse. And I mean, the sheep is such an amazing, I mean, we need to shear the sheep, because that's for its health. But the beautiful thing is you've got this living fibre, living fleece that then can become fabric, it can become all these different things. And to be actually creating my own fabrics out of both my fabric waste and wool together and silks and, you know, my scraps of material and turning them into beautiful materials. I mean, that excites me. And it's just so, you know, just amazing that your waste becomes something that actually you can then reuse again. interesting, like Eileen Fisher in America, the big, amazing design company. She's been using needle felting machines, and she takes back all her jeans and other, you know, textile people's different products they bring back to her. And she actually recycles, takes the jeans apart and puts them through needle felting processing. She's looked at what is her responsibility as a designer with the end of life of her garments. So there's really amazing things in the sustainable sort of space. And I think, you know, as a designer, those are the sort of responsibilities that you need to take on board, because we've got a world where we've only got finite resources. We can't just keep on making more and more and more. It's just costing the planet far too much. You know, we want beautiful products that actually have connection to a story, real kind of provenance and knowledge, and you know, that then that the person has got something that they feel really connected to and they want to love and hold and keep, and it's got value.
So this is really inspiring, Liz. And one of the areas that we explored during the venture launch was the commercialization of this process for you. And I know that you're in the midst of a Pledge Me crowdfunding campaign. Can you tell us about what you need in terms of the type of support, what the financial goal is, and how that will support the wool revolution?
The Pledge Me campaign is, we've only got 6 days left, but we're at 28,000 and we just, our target's 35,000. So we're really close. So it's really exciting. I received a grant earlier in the year from AgMart, which was to buy felting machinery. So what had happened is AUT, the university, closed down their textile lab last year. So I didn't have access to the machinery again. And I sort of thought, well, really, I'm really wanting to pursue these developments. Could we set up a textile lab that would be available both for my production, but also to work with universities, other students, and also other industry players where we could do help with research and development. So that was really the purpose. And my exhibition, which is at the Corbyn's estate, they've got a whole lot of studio spaces available. And I approached them earlier in the year and said, would it be possible to have a studio which we could set up the hub? And then they've got artists and things who might like to also have access to the machinery. We're also part of the creative precinct of Henderson, which is very much the New Zealand film industry, which with studios and production happening around us. I mean, obviously the strike has been a huge problem recently. But yeah, just the potential that of wool felting in production of props and costuming would be really amazing. So the Pledge Me campaign was to help us kickstart the what we need for marketing and staffing our textile hub at Henderson. So we're really excited with the support we've received, and it would be great to have, as I say, we're nearly there. So on my Instagram and Facebook, we've got connections to the Pledge Me campaign.
And can you tell us a bit more about what you think will be the future for the wool revolution? What are some of the next projects that you're going to be focused on?
Well, I think I've developed some beautiful lighting in the exhibition, and that was something I always thought would be great to do. The beautiful thing about felt is it's light. It's so practical. You can just take it with you. If you were taking glass or metal or ceramic pieces, you've got so much more cost with packing and all of that. So it's a really amazing material to develop for lighting. And so I see that there'd be potential for export markets. And we're going to be working with Wycliffe University with their sustainable fashion design students, developing a program at the lab next year. To me, there's so much potential for the future. And I think both in the development of the products that I'm really excited about that I've been doing, but also to bring classes and workshops where people can come in and discover and play. People who are curious, you know, just what new kind of things. I mean, I think of Māori and Pacifica with their amazing weaving skills. What would they do coming and working with wool, which isn't their normal thing to be working with? But, you know, we've got amazing creativity in New Zealand. So some really exciting things ahead.
A lot of exciting things ahead. Liz, you're a new Coralis venture. Can you tell us a bit about your experience thus far? What stands out for you?
I was so excited becoming a semi-finalist. It was like, I don't know, I just was really just to see the recognition and then becoming a finalist. I just felt so excited about the support from the community and what, you know, interest in what I was doing. And, you know, I connected with different women's networks and things, so people have known about what I've been doing and obviously my client base. And but I think the workshop with the other ventures was just such a wonderful experience. I mean, the three Māori businesswomen, who I just thought it was so wonderful to spend time with them. And really, I mean, they're about sustainability, their connection to the land, to just a whole such an incredible way of their thinking. And I think just to spend time with them was amazing. But I think the workshop was, to me, was also just thinking that there's six other people who've got my back, not just the ventures, but MJ, yourself, you know, the community, and that you can reach out. Because I think sometimes that's the thing, you get to sometimes have problems and you just think, oh, you don't know where to turn sometimes. And also really to develop your business with good mentoring and business direction and clarity. So, you know, we all have things that we like to do and other things that we put aside, and we know that we need to be looking at those as well, but also this lovely community. And, you know, and already, you know, just with helping Kate come over to St. Louis with her clothing, like doing some, yeah, helping her with her wardrobe, you know, just thinking, well, people need, when you're in a, doing something really special and presenting, you need to look your really best. And so, you know, to be able to help her with that, that was fantastic.
Well, that is such a lovely note to end on, Liz, because I did want to mention, I saw the other side of when a venture was presenting at a very important conference, and you demonstrated the radical generosity and reciprocity that is such a fundamental part of Coralis by inviting her to come to your studio, and then you generously dressing her in clothing. And she was so excited and felt so confident. And that's what, it's just another example of how special this community is, and also just what a huge heart you have and how committed you are to making the world a better place. So Liz, if anyone on this call would like to learn more about you, where can they find you?
Obviously, my website, www.lizmitchell.co.nz. My Instagram, I've got LizMitchellNZ and LizMitchellHome. Facebook, LizMitchellNZ. I've got two pages on Facebook. LinkedIn, again, I feel like a lot of my clients, that's a platform that they like to use. So LizMitchellNZ. And actually Pinterest, if anyone's interested, I've got an amazing lot of boards, lots of beautiful images, clothing, art, all the different things I'm interested in. So Pinterest is like my diary of, if anyone wants to kind of do some research on me, that there's lots to see there.
Well, I can encourage anyone to take a look, because your designs are absolutely gorgeous and gave me all kinds of ideas. Please go to the website. And now that I know about Pinterest, I'm going to be there and find you. Liz, thank you for your time today. We're really excited to be on this journey with you.
Thank you so much. My heartfelt purpose. It's great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast. Let us know what you thought of the episode and share this podcast with your friends. We invite you to join a global community of radically generous women and non-binary folks at www.coralis.world.